not. Veto.
Those circuses on the air.
And the president does it.
Sometimes you feel like
that
a...
That means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you don't...
Tear down this wall.
Here's Johnny!
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Oh, we're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
China's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time. Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
And good morning to you, Dave Schwann. So let's start off with a story of the Hindenburg disaster that took place 82 years ago. This Monday, Chicago's WLS covered it with reporter Herbert Morrison, but it wasn't live. I think it was on tape.
Actually, on the big transcription discs, as there wasn't tape quite yet in the 1930s. But it was just an event where they were going to record. This was a big deal. You know, these Hindenburgs, these lighter-than-air Zeppelins that were flying over. And Chicago was in the running to have a mooring station somewhere over the lake.
Yeah.
And so my guess would be is that they wanted to report on what it was like, you know, and the way it came in and how it would be docked and how the people would disembark and that sort of thing.
Well, the vision of these airships is what really they call them. It was to be this elegant passenger vehicle, like just a luxury way to get from one destination to another.
And it was quite nice, up in
the pictures
in the cabins.
I saw. Yeah,
it was quite nice, and you know, to see these big aircraft floating in the air would have been pretty majestic.
But it forever linked hydrogen, as highly flammable and really no longer what they thought was going to be kind of a clean fuel source to get people there.
Right. Yeah. And the fact that apparently there was some lightning, a static charge in the air, and evidently that's what did it in. A terrible tragedy.
Well, let's take a little listen to that WLS report from 1937.
It's a terrific crash, ladies and gentlemen. The smoke and the flames now, and the flame is crashing to the ground, not quite to the mooring mast. All the humanity and all the fans are screaming around me. I told you. Yeah, let's talk to people. There's friends around there. I can't talk, ladies and gentlemen. Honestly, this lake, there are massive fucking wreckage.
There you have it.
He was describing the Hindenburg as before the explosion. The thing that is amazing to me, Dave, is the way that his knowledge of it and the way what was happening. If you listen to the description prior to the explosion, he goes on for a good five minutes or more.
Yeah.
He just keeps talking
and
doesn't drop his voice, doesn't stutter. He doesn't, he's not at a loss for words.
But I mean, there was no visuals. I mean, it's what we're doing now on radio. I mean, there's no visuals, so you really had to give that description of what was going on, of course, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Just a few years before that, Dave, America's favorite lunchtime food snack, SpaghettiOs, was born. Let's take a listen.
SpaghettiOs. It's the greatest invention since the napkin.
Yeah, I just want to hear a little uh-oh spaghetti over.
I remember that spot.
Yeah, right?
I remember that spot.
Yeah, exactly. fast forward a little bit. 1981, Pope John Paul II shot and critically wounded by a Turkish gunman in St. Peter Square. Let's listen to that original news report.
A terrible quiet fell on the thousands who were gathered at St. Peter Square at the Vatican today. A shocked quiet. 10,000 or more had come to receive the blessing of Pope John Paul. Instead, amongst the cheering and the peal of bells announcing the arrival of the Pope, they heard gunfire and saw the Pope turn pale and collapse bloody into the arms of his aides. Pope John Paul II had been shot. a Turkish terrorist who had threatened to kill the Pope 2 years ago, is being held tonight by Italian police. The main suspect in the shooting.
Sounds like Dan Rather.
It is Dan Rather.
Yeah, Dan Rather, with the typing in the background.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you can hear the typewriter.
I would like you to play that in the background of your newscast at 5 o'clock.
I can. I'll have to find it on YouTube.
Yeah, you'll have to. I know, because there's no typewriters around here, obviously.
Although, you know, with the way things are today, if you type in the sound of a typewriter on YouTube, your likely reply will be, "What's a typewriter?"
That's right. No, you're totally right. Oh, my kids are fascinated every time they see it in an antique store. Like, wow. So what if you made a mistake? What if you wrote something and you had to rewrite it? Well, you'd have to rewrite it. You know, that's just how it went.
There was a thing called whiteout.
Yeah. I have a couple of sports things as well. 1985, Michael Jordan was named NBA Rookie of the Year. 1988, Mario Andretti records the fastest Indianapolis 500 lap at 221 miles per hour. Holy smokes. Holy smokes. It was also the last broadcast of Cheers this week on NBC.
Oh, sure.
So here are some normisms. Let's take a listen.
Afternoon, everybody.
Norman?
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear. Afternoon, everybody.
Hey, Mr. Peterson, Jack Frost nipping at your nose?
Yeah, now let's get Joe Beer nipping at my liver, huh? Afternoon, everybody.
So, Dave, this month also marks the final episode of The Wonder Years on ABC. It was 26 years ago, and I spoke to Chicago actor Fred Savage, who played Kevin Arnold, about the series just last year.
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me?
You know, I'm a little bit older than you, but I grew up like in the late 70s watching like Happy Days and stuff. And this Wonder Years was really the next generation of those shows. It was really a look back at a fonder, simpler time of life. You know, it was so well done, so well written, so well put together. It was really one of the first single camera comedies that are out there, which are so common now.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely, you know, it certainly wasn't the first by any stretch, but at that time, there weren't many out there. And so it was kind of a unique way visually to tell the story, and I think really helped, you know, embrace and encapsulate kind of the nostalgia of that era.
You really grew up on this show. What do you remember about the early days? Because you were pretty young.
You know, I have nothing but positive memories of doing that show. You know, I remember it was very sad leaving my friends. You know, it was hard to leave Chicago. But I had just a great time. I loved being in L.A. I loved working on the show. It was just nothing but kind of positive memories.
There was something I read, and you say that, and you said it was just a great set. People respected that there were kids on the set, which is so incredibly important. But I read an interview in Esquire where you talked about an episode where the folks had a party and the adults were playing Twister. And you got a little more than you were bargained for there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, look we did, you know, we worked on that show for 6 years, or maybe a little bit more even, and did, you know, I don't know, over 100 episodes. So, I mean, any time you get that many people working together for that many years, there's, you know, things are bound to happen. But
sure.
It was definitely a really positive, really friendly set and a great place to grow up.
Yeah. And, you know, I would assume could have been your first kiss on air in life, too, with Dan.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is true.
I would think so with Danica McKellar, who's just lovely. Any favorite episodes from back then that you fondly look on and say, gosh, that was a fun show to do? Like, do you ever see the shows? Do you ever watch them with your kids?
You know, my kids just started watching the episodes, actually, with my mom started showing them to them recently, like in the last few weeks. So that's been a new thing. And to see them enjoy it and to see them talk about it as much as they are and really react to it and respond to it, seeing this next generation really embrace the show has been thrilling for me. And you know, particularly being my own kids, it's even more exciting.
Well, some of the shows that are on for young people, I got two young kids, I have three young kids actually, but one's really young, that watch some of the Disney Channel and Nickelodeon stuff, and you know, not all of it is great quality, so I like it when they throw on a classic program
whether it's from the 70s or the 80s, that, you know, and this one's pretty timeless because it takes place in a certain era. It takes place in the 1960s, so it really never gets old because when you're watching it. But the kids always relate to those situations of getting the girl and dealing with a difficult teacher, or dad's coming home, which would be me, a little irritable tonight. But it's just one of those shows that I think everyone's got some kind of connection to, no matter what area you grew up in.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the things that made this show so great then and so timeless, is that it really does kind of address universal questions, problems, moments in adolescence that we've all experienced, whether you grew up, you know, in the 60s or the 90s, yeah, or today, or whether you grew up in the United States or across the world, that people have really responded to it, because I think there are those kind of transcendent moments in growing up that everyone can relate to and experience.
And you've been doing this for so long, and, you know, you're producing, you're directing now, so you see some of these shows. Back then, and we're talking 80s, 90s, but really there's not a lot of shows that had closure. And, you know, I know you get asked all the time about reunions and stuff. And this is one show where there was really full-on closure when the show ended. You knew where the cast, you know, the characters were going after the show ended. I don't know how you could go back and do, unless you were just hanging out on the set of, like, Fallon's Tonight Show or something like that. But to go back and do so, I think the show ended how it began. It was just a great story that just kind of, you know, made you think about, you know, another era.
I'm glad you feel that way. Thank you.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And the entire series just came out on DVD for the first time ever, so it's a great chance to take a look at that. Now, you've continued acting over the years, but you really got your hands in directing and producing. What made you go to the other side of the camera?
You know, directing was something I'd wanted to do ever since I was a kid. You know, when I was on The Wonder Years, I would look at the directors and always wonder, you know, how they made the choices they made and why they placed the camera in one part of the room as opposed to another. And I was just always fascinated with kind of that art of filmmaking, of, you know, behind a television show. And so it was something I'd always, you know, it was a dream I always harbored and something I always wanted to do. And, you know, as I got older, I was able to get those opportunities, and I, like I said, it was something I'd always wanted to do, and I couldn't be more thrilled that I've been able to build this directing career. It's probably the thing I'm most proud of, just because it was something I really always wanted to do and really put my mind to it and worked hard and was able to achieve it.
Such a multi-talented guy, you know. Have you found real joy in doing things behind the camera and doing the producer and director, or do you like being in front of the camera? Like, what do you prefer a little bit more? Like, what do you really get your heart pumping?
Well, I love working in the television industry. I mean, in comedy in particular. I mean, it's what I grew up doing. It's what I love doing. So to be able to, the thing that really gets my heart pumping is to know that I'm still working in an industry,
yeah,
that's given me so much pleasure and joy and support, you know, all these years later.
4th of July in that little suburban town. Somehow, though, things were different. Our past was here, but our future was somewhere else. And we both knew, sooner or later, we had to go. It was the last July I ever spent in that town. The next year after graduation, I was on my way.
Paul! Hey, Paul!
Hi!
So was Paul. He went to Harvard, of course. Studied law. He's still allergic to everything.
Back. Hang on one second. September. I gotta say, I think he looks like me. Poor kid. Mom, she did well. Businesswoman, board chairman, grandmother, cooker of mashed potatoes. The wainer stayed on in furniture. Wood seemed to suit him. In fact, he took over the factory 2 years later when Dad passed away. Winnie left the next summer to study art history in Paris. Still, we never forgot our promise. We wrote to each other once a week for the next 8 years. I was there to meet her when she came home with my wife and my first son, 8 months old.